The Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN Plus.
I can understand it. That's one of the tough parts because I love Chicago so much. And, you know, I want to end my career here. But when you lose, you know, it's the nature of the business, you know. So, you know, that's just the nature of the business. And, you know, before the season, you know, seemed like we had everyone we needed.
Welcome back to Cap and Haw on Comcast Sportsnet WGN Plus. Privileged to sit next to David Haw, the lead columnist of the Chicago Tribune. I'm David Kaplan. Mark Carmen is our update man today and more, with Brooke off doing college buckets. You'll be hearing a lot of the Carm around here. 312-235-2525.
So Brandon Marshall now on his fourth team. And when people start to make the argument of, you know, the Bears aren't better off.
Traded three times.
The Bears are really no better today than they were yesterday when they had Brandon Marshall. You know what? Technically, you're right. And when you turn on the tape, you can make the argument that, you know, you want that guy on third and seven because he's going to find a way to get open, or he's going to be that tough-minded receiver downfield. At the same time, he's working on his fourth team. He wears out his welcome. There's a reason why guys like this continue to get traded. He did not get in the same kind of trouble in Chicago that he encountered in Denver and in Miami. But it wasn't all just, you know, seashells and balloons. It was rocky, especially the last season. And you don't have to necessarily get arrested to be disruptive. And
Jerry,
he was disruptive.
Jerry, what is his floor and his ceiling?
You know, this is a guy that, you know, his ceiling's a Canton. One day he could wear a yellow jacket. His floor right now, it's in the basement.
Let's go to the phone line.
What an a-hole.
That's not very nice, Mike.
Phenomenal.
I had a bad day.
Mike,
what an a-hole.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Dave.
Just phenomenal.
Hey, Dave.
Love Jerry.
Love Jerry.
Anyway, back to the phones we go. And where are we going here? Quentin on the west side of our great city. Quentin, what's going on there, Sugar Bear?
Hey, Quentin.
Hey, Cap. Hey, Hall. Hey, this is the Beast. I'm happy that Brandon Marshall is gone. So, hey, I can probably get a Brandon Marshall jersey on sale towards the summertime at any of my favorite department stores. Now, one day I want to go. All I'm going to say is this. Let's get Greg Hardy. Let's get Troy Polamalu. And let's get Ray Rice. We need some fresh blood in the Chicago Bears.
Well, they get fresh blood, Quentin. These guys are washed up. Retreads. You want Ray Rice?
Yeah, Ray Rice. I choose him over Matt Forte. Give the guy a chance.
The only pure person that wants the three guys you mentioned are bail bondsmen in Chicago. You don't want those guys on your roster. You're not cleaning house to get guys with baggage. You're cleaning out your baggage.
Yeah, I know, man. I know. It's just that I want the Bears to become winners. And how long do I have to wait to see Chicago Bears become winners?
Good question. Good question.
Great
Quentin.
Question. Quentin, thanks, man.
That's the question that comes out of all these moves. You're convinced that they can't win next year, and I think a lot of people might agree. By winning, I mean, you know, competing for a playoff spot. What is the timetable, and what do all of these moves that are going to be coming here in the next few days and weeks, what do they say about the time frame that Ryan Pace and John Fox are setting for themselves? Because they're setting for themselves the timetable, not management,
I believe,
not
that
ownership.
If Ryan Pace was honest, he's sitting right there, and he was totally forthright, he would say to you, David, we're not going to the playoffs next year. Let me just make that crystal clear to you. We will hope that we can get there in 16. 17 is when I'm targeting that we got a good young football team with two really strong draft classes, some solid signings, and we have started to put something together that we can be really proud of. But we're not going anywhere next season.
I know what you're saying. I just wonder, Cap, and thinking out loud, how many first-time NFL general managers have three-year plans that become, you know, 18-month plans and I guess never get the opportunity – to execute because of the decisions that get in their way. Phil Emery, I'm sure, had a great 5-year plan.
Well, there was a big difference. Big difference.
Okay.
Phil Emery took over a team that was 10-6 when they fired Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry was 8-8. Sorry, they fired Lovey. It was 10-6, right?
Yes.
Yeah, 10-6. They had the arrow pointing up at that point, thinking Jay was their future. They had Marshall coming in. They had a lot of expectation that they were going to be a championship-caliber team. There is no expectation up there that they're going to be a championship-caliber team in 2015. It's as ludicrous as Ricketts saying they were going to the playoffs last year.
Well, I don't know that there was expectation that they would be a championship-caliber team in 2013.
They thought they were going to contend. They absolutely did.
I mean, contend for a playoff spot, but you looked at the division.
And they looked at this year, they were all in this 2014 season.
Again, I keep going back to the example. You hate to hear it, but, I mean, what do you think that Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs were thinking the year that they inherited that job? He got that job and inherited that roster. Were they thinking, next year, we're going to flirt with 500 and we're looking
Chiefs?
At 6-10 at best.
The Chiefs?
Yeah.
The Chiefs had, what, 6 Pro Bowlers on that team?
After Andy Reid's first season.
No, go back to the 2-14 team. How many Pro Bowlers did they have there?
Todd Haley, final year? I don't know. But I know, but you look at the Bears roster, and I know they didn't make the Pro Bowl this year, but you could look objectively at the offense, and you could see, now that you don't have Brandon Marshall, it's a little bit different, but you still see guys who have had success in the NFL on offense. Bushrod, paid like a left tackle. Garza, at the end of his rope at the center, but he's still here for a reason. Matt Slauson, pretty good left tackle, left guard when healthy. Kyle Long, Pro Bowler, right? Your weakness is right tackle. You've got a big-time tight end. You've got one of the most versatile running backs in the NFL. You've got a quarterback that is up and down and up and down, but you have a quarterback that has experience. You have Alshon Jeffrey, who has been explosive. My point is that you do have talent there, Cap. You're not as sparse as you're suggesting offensively. You're not. Defensively, huge issues. Huge issues, huge holes, huge gaps. But I'm telling you,
you're pretty sparse.
Offensively?
Yes. You have no speed receiver. You got no quarterback that's decent. You've got a real problem at right tackle. You got Slauson coming off a couple of injuries. I mean, your old line needs to have a couple of infusions of some youth. Kyle Long's a stud. Agreed.
You're looking at it like a critic, and I understand why. You're not looking at it like a coach who thinks that they can work with players who have succeeded before. They value experience. And I think that that's part of the thing, you know, objectively, when you look at the Bears offense, you think, oh, I can work with that. Yeah, I can work with that. Draft or sign another running back. Get somebody, you know, we take the air out of the ball a little bit. We're not pass happy anymore. I can work with that. Defensively, you have a guy regarded as, I don't want to overstate Vic Fangio's respect level in the league, but he's got a lot of respect for being a schematic genius, is maybe too strong, but a guy that is going to win, that you can win with, and he can do more with less. Right? And you can figure out creative ways to get to the quarterback. You can confuse people. You can wait, and when you get elite talent, then that elite talent is dominant. I'm just saying, the Bears look at their roster and they probably see a lot of mediocrity ahead. They don't think they see disaster.
When you go to watch a horse race.
I don't watch a lot of horse racing.
But when you watch any.
I don't really care about horse racing.
Do you see the jockey carry the horse across the finish line? No.
I might cover it.
You give him a good nag, a good guy can get it done.
If I can see a jockey carry a horse across the finish line, I might actually cover that.
It'd be pretty cool.
I might actually watch it then.
That'd be pretty cool.
I don't find it that interesting. Let's get to a couple of these calls.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 312-235-2525. Mike in Chicago. Hey, Mike. What's going on there, Slappy?
Yeah, hi, guys. I love your show.
Thank you.
I have a question to ask you. My opinion, Cap, I've heard you say a number of times that you think the Bears have no chance next year.
None.
Now, assuming Sue and Cobb decide to leave their respective teams, I think the NFC North next year is going to be awful. And I think anywhere between 5 and 8 wins is going to win that division.
You're insane.
No, wait. Let me explain to you, though. Because next year, Green Bay is not – if they lose Cobb, they only have one receiver on their roster, and that's Jordy Nelson. If I was FanDuel next year, I would go into that game with triple teaming Jordy Nelson and taking him completely out of the game. Green Bay has – pretty soon the Packers are going to have Aaron Rodgers throw the ball and catch it because –
Mike, I know what you're saying.
Mike, do you realize how ridiculous you sound? Ted Thompson has one of the best draft records in the NFL.
Yeah, I understand that.
Exactly 7 weeks ago, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, if they field an onside kick, are in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I understand that. But taking Cobb off that roster at this time, they don't have anybody but Jordy Nelson. If you take Nelson out of the game next year, who is he going to throw to?
Are you thinking they don't sign anybody? So they're completely going to fold up?
They haven't signed Nelson. Who else are they going to throw
to? Mike, but here's the thing. You're better off keeping your argument that the Lions are going to be weaker without Sue potentially, and the Vikings are certainly catchable. I think that your Green Bay point is well taken in that they will struggle a little bit replacing Randall Cobb, but you know what? Think about who Randall Cobb replaced. And there was, you know, before there was Randall Cobb, there was Donald Driver. Hold on here, Mike. Greg Jennings and Donald Driver made way for Randall Cobb. They're not going to look. Don't stop interrupting. Thanks for the phone call. Just make our point. You don't have to argue with us. Don't talk over us. Come on. Especially when you're making an invalid point. James.
Shut up.
James Jackson. James in Green Bay. All the receivers that have left.
Right.
Greg Jennings. Donald Driver. Randall Cobb was not expected to do what Randall Cobb did.
Correct.
There's a reasonable expectation that the Packers are going to find somebody else. They're going to have another receiver. They're not coming back to you. You have to close the gap yourself. Now, if you want to limit the argument to the Lions and the Vikings. The Lions are going to come back to earth without Sue. I could buy that. The Vikings, if they are without Peterson, if they're, you know, can Teddy Bridgewater really take a next step? I could buy that. But don't talk to me about the Packers' decline.
Yeah, absolutely agreed. 312-235-2525. Callers, hang in. We'll get right back to you. Neil, Marcus, Dan, Ray, and Jeff are all coming up. And we'll get a quick hit with Bryce Drew. I'll be calling Horizon League quarters with Andy Mazur tonight. A doubleheader. We'll come right back and get a hit with him and you. 312-235-2525. Be right back.
It's the Cap and Haw Show on WGN Plus and Comcast Sportsnet.
All right, we're in the midst of March Madness. That's right. Conference tournaments going on. A week from Sunday, they will announce the 68-team field for the NCAA tournament. One team that many believe will be there, me included, the Valparaiso Crusaders. Mm. I'll be in Valpo tonight for the doubleheader in the Horizon League. Valpo will be off until tomorrow as they get the double bye into the semis. Bryce Drew, their outstanding head coach, who's been in our studio before, joins us now. Bryce, good morning. This is the time of year that you point toward. How do you feel like your team is playing right now? Stubbed your toe against Detroit, but won a huge game in Cleveland.
You know, last Friday might have been our best game of the year as far as effort, execution, just will to win. So now, how do we duplicate that a week later? You know, that's going to be our goal heading into tomorrow night.
What's the message, Bryce? I mean, do you look at this as a – do you dangle the NCAA tournament carrot right away? Is that go? Does it go without saying that that is the goal here, or you just try to keep the focus, as coaches tend to do, on one possession at a time, you know, one half at a time, one game at a time?
You know, we definitely try to break it down in small segments like you just described. But the big picture is, you know, everyone in that league knows none of our RPIs are high enough on that large bid, so – no question, these are the most stressful times of the year because everyone knows you have to win to get to the tournament. And so for mid-majors, very stressful time.
Bryce, having the opportunity to host this tournament, does that put more pressure on your kids because you're obviously favored, you're the league champ, you're the host team, or no, it's a huge advantage, man?
You know, we're really young. We're the least experienced team in our league, and we're in the bottom 25% of experience in the country. So a lot of our guys, this is their first time through, so I don't think they really know what to expect. They've done a great job so far being focused. I'm blessed with a great group of guys that really likes each other. So they went out bowling the other day, which, you know, they're just staying busy doing things. So hopefully we'll come in relaxed but very focused on Saturday.
Bryce, I wrote about Kiefer Sykes in this morning's Chicago Tribune, and the Green Bay point guard from Marshall High School is a great example of the kind of players who are in the Horizon League and guys who get overlooked by bigger colleges, and then they go and they take advantage of an opportunity. Now, certainly his development has come at the expense of some guys in the league like yourself, and they come into this tournament thinking exactly the same thing you are. They get on a run, they can, you know, put something together, and they want to get back to the tournament for the first time since 1996. What makes them dangerous, and how much respect have you gained in being on the opposite side of Kiefer Sykes?
Yeah, Kiefer's a great story, you know, coming from Chicago, not getting a ton of recognition out of high school. Now he's probably going to be drafted in the NBA in a couple months. And he's just gotten better every year. I think his coming out party was his sophomore year at our place in the tournament. He went nuts for about 30 and just was unstoppable. But, you know, he's the best player in the league, and he's extremely hard to defend. And we know that he knows it's his last time around. So I think everyone's going to see by far the best Kiefer Sykes these next couple days.
What about the matchups tonight? You'll be scouting. What do you expect to see tonight?
You know, there's so much parity and balance in our league. You know, I know UIC had a really emotional win the other night, and I expect them to play tremendous tonight. I think both games are going to be a battle. Detroit, Cleveland State have had close games. So we're hoping that one goes about five overtimes since we play the winner the next night.
Should be a lot of fun. You expecting a really good environment this weekend?
Should be great. You know, tickets have been going going really well. We're on spring break, but I think we've still been selling quite a few. So we'll look forward to getting you down, Cap, and having a great atmosphere down at the Arc.
How's your dad doing?
Thank God, doing great. He'll be there. He'll be probably nervous during the game, so if you want to talk to him, probably catch him before the game, be better.
And Mom?
You know, thank God, too. Been healthy. She's been going to Chicago, seeing doctors there, but thank God she'll be healthy. She'll be at the games and be cheering.
All the best. I will see you tonight. I'm driving in this afternoon.
Sounds great. Be safe. Look forward to seeing you.
Thanks, Bryce.
All the best. There he is, Bryce Drew, head basketball coach at Valpo. They are the favorite to win the Horizon League postseason
tournament. The number one seed there. Slow down there, correct. Crusader boy.
What?
I like Bryce Drew. I got a ton of respect for Bryce Drew and what they do at that program and what they have done at that program.
They're the favorite.
Yeah, okay.
But you win the conference, you host, you would think they're the favorite.
I think the Kiefer Sykes story would be a nice little exclamation point on it with the NCAA tournament appearance.
See, you know what he's thinking, Carm? He's thinking, get Kiefer Sykes to the tournament, and just like they did with Al Michaels on Thursday night or Sunday night football when they referenced his column, they'll reference his column in the NCAA tournament.
That's so transparent. I know, because that's what I want.
That's a brilliant. I call that a brilliant angle.
I live for those mentions, right?
And Kevin Harlan will go.
There you go.
See, they got a tie.
Flamethrower.
Brian, Kevin, David, they're intertwined. Yeah, they'll be like, you know, I was reading David Haw's column in the Chicago Tribune about Kiefer Sykes.
I like, he's a tremendous story of
he's a great kid.
Of a kid just taking advantage of his opportunity. And it just shows kids in Chicago that are growing up in the environment that a lot of them grow up in. And it's not good and it's not safe always. And Kiefer Sykes overcame that. And he overcame a lot of stuff, the death of his father, you know, the birth of his son. And he's dealt with these challenges in a way that is, you know, exemplary. And he's a first-class student-athlete, graduates in May with a degree in communications, and you wish him all the best.
312-235-2525. Let's go back to our big story. Brandon Marshall, a member of the New York Jets, now if you're just joining us, traded by Ryan Pace and the Bears, pending him passing a physical. They'll make it official on Tuesday. Dan's in Burbank. He wants to respond to that last caller. What was the caller's name? Mike? I think it was Mike. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, what's up?
So, he's basically saying that the Packers only have Jordy Nelson, but they still have Eddie Lacy, who's a good power back, James Starks, who's a good complement to him, and then Davante Adams, in my opinion, could easily replace Randall Cobb, not like with his speed, but he still has some good potential to at least have a good 800, 900 yards or so.
And Dan, that's a good point. Thanks for making the phone call.
Thanks.
Randall Cobb is leaving, but Mike McCarthy isn't. Ted Thompson isn't. As long as those guys are in place, you're going to have talent, and they're going to have a system, and they're going to have guys who develop in that system.
Agreed. Dan, thanks for the call, buddy. Can you tell me three receivers in NFL history have had five 100-catch seasons? Who are the three all time?
I would say there's three guys.
Mm-hmm.
Wes Welker.
Very good.
Brandon Marshall.
Very good.
Andre Johnson.
You saw the tweet.
I did not see the tweet. Carm, did I see the tweet? Have I seen it? When did they get tweeted?
About 18, 20 seconds before I asked you the question.
Okay, so yeah,
by the NFL Network.
Okay, I did not see the tweet. Sorry.
You're unbelievable.
Not the first rodeo here, Cap. Okay, it'd be like me asking you about the Iowa Cubs batting order last year. You would know it back of your hand. You would be able to recite it.
As Mike Jacobs had just said. Yeah, he saw the tweet.
You might need a permanent person on the show for just tweet watch. Did Haas see the tweet?
That's a new app I'm going to have put on his computer called Tweet Watch, and then I know what he's seen.
Be really bored.
What is Cap tweeting? What tweet is Cap reading?
That app would explode.
Tweet Watch.
What
like that.
There
tweet
we go.
Watch.
Twitter maybe was minorly invented for you.
For David?
No, for you. That would be you, buddy. Come on.
Let's go back to the phones. Let's see. Where are we going? Jeff and East Moline. Hey, Jeff. What's going on there? How
hey,
you
Jeff.
Doing there, buddy?
Good morning, guys. Love your show.
Thanks, big boy.
Hey, like we were talking, I got called last week when we were talking about Incognito. And I think that the McCaskies had a lot to do with this before even Pace and Fox came along, because they don't like bad baggage. And I think they had it in their head that he wasn't going to play this year with them no matter what. What do you guys think of that? I also wanted to say, too, I'm not going to any games this year, and I have season tickets on the 16th row.
Why? Why aren't you going, Jeff?
Because you guys, like you guys say, they aren't going to have anything.
No, that's Cap saying it. I'm not saying don't go to games. I would be very curious. I think this team is going to be worth watching. I think there's going to be a lot of things that you can see in the way of trends and talent developing. I would not tell you to skip games because you're not going to like what you see. And I don't know what your point is about Incognito. Please enlighten me.
Well, you guys said last week that the McCaskies are passive, and you used the word conservative.
Yeah.
But I think the word is they don't want any bad baggage behind their name.
Maybe so, Jeff. Maybe so. They have taken it on in the past, and I think that, thanks for the phone call. I don't see the connection between staying away from Richie Incognito and trading Brandon Marshall. They're not really related either.
You can't work in the NFL and not have bad baggage related around your name. I mean,
definitely.
Come on.
Everyone in the NFL.
Every team's going
to
have
has a carousel, and sort of like next to their weight room. It's like they just have the baggage kind of going around in one continuous loop.
That's it.
You know, and some teams have, like some teams it's just continuous. Like it gets backed up. It's like it's stuck, and like there's all these, you know, luggage on top of each other. And some teams like just keeps on going smooth, pretty clear, no baggage.
Let's go down to Marcus in Champaign, Urbana. Hi, Marcus. What's going on there, bud?
Hey, Marcus.
What's going on, man? I just want to say, man, y'all be having me laughing when y'all be looking at these people be calling and be saying crazy stuff. Y'all just, the facial expressions y'all have just have me laughing.
But, doing this.
My question was, okay, since they had Brandon Marshall on the trading block, why didn't they trade him for Andre Johnson? Wouldn't you think that would have been a better fit?
Not going to be a one-for-one deal.
Yeah, they wanted a lot more for Andre Johnson than the Bears got for Brandon Marshall.
And you can still probably get a chance at Andre Johnson if you're so inclined, because they're likely to probably cut him. You want a draft pick. When you're a new general manager, draft picks are currency, and that's the way that you build up your roster, is with young players. You can get a good player in the fifth round. They need special teams players as well. That's the way you do this.
Yeah, I want to see the old Chicago Bears back, man. I want to see the defense, man.
You know what? You do want to see, Marcus, the old Chicago Bears, but you don't want to see the old and decrepit Chicago Bears. So that's why you stay away from 32-year-old wide receivers.
Hey, I'll take Andre Johnson over Brandon Marshall any day, though.
Interesting. Thanks, Marcus.
Thanks, Marcus. Appreciate it, bud.
That's a good debate. You know, I think when you talk about Andre Johnson, he had a little disruptive streak in him as well.
He's motivated.
Brandon Marshall's motivated.
That's true, too.
How old is Andre Johnson?
34. Released.
You might be getting a guy motivated to catch 85 passes. You might be getting a weekly injury waiting to happen.
Neil's in Bloomington, Illinois. Hey, Neil, what's going on there, Sparkles?
Not much. Mr. Kaplan, I want to tell you how much I appreciate all your knowledge. I've followed you since 1986, and you do a fine job, especially with a piece of the game. I have tons and tons of sports memorabilia, but that's beside the point.
You're the man. Thank you very much.
I want to ask you if you think Jay Cutler is going to be a Bear. They need a quarterback that's going to take him someplace because he ain't the answer. Thanks for your time, and you guys have a wonderful day, and you guys do a great job.
Thanks, Neil. Thanks, man. Appreciate the kind words. Look, I don't think Jay – I hope he's gone. I do not believe he's going anywhere because there's no viable option in their mind that they can replace him with unless they feel like they just have to move on.
Did you see that report from Sal Palantonio that the Bears like Mariota?
Yeah. Do you think that's a smokescreen report
or true?
I
think all the things about the draft are a smokescreen. I don't believe half – I only believe one quarter of the stuff that comes out about draft and teams that, you know, guys teams like or whatever. I don't know that, you know, when it comes from a guy's agent – always be skeptical.
Let me ask you a question. If now that you've traded B. Marsh, if you got
to B. Marsh to you now?
B. Marsh.
Now that he's gone, he's B. Marsh.
If now that he's gone, if at number 7 Amari Cooper's sitting there, do you take him? You are – please, come on now. Do you know how good he is?
I know how good he is. If he's – that's my first reaction. Now, you have to – you always got to qualify it. I hate being fair. It's like, you know, if he's a top guy on your board, rated going in your scouts, then it's a different story. My sense is that you have so many needs defensively. You want an impact guy. You want a safety. Landon Collins, is that the safety?
Mm-hmm.
You want a pass rusher. You want a hole plugger. You want somebody that's going to tackle somebody. You don't want somebody that's going to go up and catch the ball necessarily. I just don't prioritize wide receivers as highly on this in this regime as maybe you would. So I would say no.
If he's the number one guy on my board and Amari Cooper's there, I'm taking Amari Cooper. That guy's a superstar.
He is. Some people aren't even sure he's the best wide receiver in the draft. How about Kevin White? Isn't he the guy, West Virginia guy?
He's good.
He's very good.
I like Amari Cooper. Size, speed, yeah. Give me Amari Cooper. I'll take him.
He could be great. But what's his size? He's another bigger guy, right?
He's blazing fast.
I want the Bears to go after a speed receiver that is different than Alshon Jeffrey, so it gives you a compliment rather than a duplicate.
All right. Let's take a fast timeout. We'll come back, get an update with Carm, and get more of your calls and talk about this trade of B. Marsh to the Jets. It's Cap and Haw. This is Comcast SportsNet and WGN Plus. Okay. Final half hour of Cap and Haw here on Comcast SportsNet and WGN Plus. So the Bears have traded Brandon Marshall. Now, I'll tell you what, instead of fifth round pick, I would ask for special teams help. David Putney would have been a really good addition.
Is he still dating that Lane Bennis?
Dave.
And that's Dave Putty.
Dave Putty. Exactly.
I love Lane Bennis. I just got so excited.
You're not going to get a player in return.
You know who David Putney is, right?
No.
We live in a different world than we did just 30 seconds ago. I want David Putney and all my draft picks back.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. I didn't get the reference.
Great movies
I'm
of
sorry.
All time.
I'm sorry. You got to cue me that you're making the
Putney. Get David Putney.
I forget the David Putney. I remember the movie. I remember some of the lines, but not the
character. I can give you every line.
Jesus.
That's scary. That's scary.
Let's go back to the phones. Scott's in Naperville. Hey, Scott, what's going on there, Smokey?
Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys, I got a question and a comment for you. The whole Marshall deal, would you say that it's probably based on the times when he would come into the locker room and kind of blow up on the team or kind of express his distress if the team is having a poor performance in the first half? Would you say that's probably the main issue on why they got him out of here?
Might not have helped, but I think it's this, Scott. I think that when you had a meeting with the guy and after the type of season that he had and after the type of season that you had as an organization, that he would even dare to mention his desire to want to continue doing a television job, that from the perception standpoint makes it look like he's less than focused on winning, then that's not what you want to hear. You want to hear somebody who's all in, all about football, all ball 24/7, not worried about, hey, do you think that I'm going to be able to do my TV show? Because if not, John Harbaugh said that he would let me do it, and I think that that's pretty cool. And by the way, I'm going to be on camera more than anybody else around here because it's all about me. Enough about me. Let's talk about me.
They might have made their decision.
I agree.
They might have made their decision when it was a 45-minute press conference.
Scott, thanks, buddy.
That's when I think it was over.
The 45-minute press conference? Were you at that press conference?
Yeah. That wasn't a press conference. That was a monologue.
That was. By the way, a couple of people on Twitter saying, one is at Alex L, Alex L, and Travis David, both saying, go Amari Cooper if he's there at 7. I just don't think he'll be there at 7.
I don't either. I still think you need defense.
You do need defense, but what are you laughing at?
It's Twitter, the Twitter machine.
What are they getting
somebody
on you now
just posted,
for?
No, somebody just posted your head on John Gross's body.
Wait, is that the Chicago Bears family tweet? Yeah. I haven't clicked on it yet.
That's pretty good.
Oh, my God.
Let's
pretty
take
funny.
Another call.
That is pretty good. I got to retweet that one. That's outstanding. Let's see. Ray in Chicago. Ray, what's up?
Hey, Ray.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
I'm a little disappointed in Marshall Trey because I'm a big fan of Chicago Bears as well as him. I just feel like they got rid of him because of his attitude. I feel like Cutler need to go too. Cutler don't show no emotion. So if Marshall go, Cutler should go too. And I feel like what y'all think about at the number 7 pick, if it's a receiver there, should they take him?
That's what
Marshall is the number one.
We appreciate the call, Ray. That's what we were just talking about. Look, David makes a valid point. They need impact on defense. Now, if Amari Cooper is the number one guy on your board, you take him. But if he's not the number one guy, you don't reach because you got to replace Brandon.
It's a deep receiver draft. It's deep.
You just take the best guy. If your scouts go,
so you can get a receiver later.
Yeah, you could have felt that way last year too, and then Odell Beckham becomes like insanely good.
Yeah, he is pretty good. Is he the best receiver in New York City right now? Who's the best receiver in New York City, Brandon Marshall? You or Odell Beckham?
It's not even close.
It isn't to me or to you, but I bet you to B. Marsh.
What about Eric Decker?
He's the most handsome receiver.
He's got the hottest wife. 312-235-2525. Mike in Chicago has a different take on the discussions of B. Marsh. Michael, what's going on there, bud?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
Good.
We're doing good there, Sugar Bear. What's on your mind?
You know, I get that we have to get rid of Brandon Marshall. He's toxic to the locker room. But I think we got to take a look at Matt Forte. The way he runs to the outside, I think we need his schemes of blocking. He seals the outside for him. I think it's going to hurt him in the long run. What do you guys think?
I don't think Matt Forte's your problem. I don't think he's a problem at all. I think the biggest problem.
He's not saying Matt is. He's saying the loss of Marshall because he's a good edge blocker will affect Matt more than anybody.
No, you can find receivers to block. I don't agree with that, Mike. I think that's an interesting observation based on the fact that Brandon Marshall is an above average perimeter blocker. But I don't think that Matt Forte's success is directly related to that. I think that he'll succeed no matter who's blocking for him on the edge. But it's an interesting idea. Thanks for the phone call. You know, Matt Forte is going to be a guy that they have to decide how committed they are to him as well. Because he's not going to, projecting out here, probably not going to be a happy camper. Come into camp, they want to go to the table, they want to negotiate a longer extension. You can't do that if you're the Bears.
By the way, Rick Morrissey writing since the trade with his web column, goodbye and good riddance to Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, he didn't. Did he reprint that? Didn't he write that last month? I don't know. I didn't read it.
No, I don't think so. Nope. I think this is a new shorty. It's a shorty. You columnists get away with shorties once in a while. 312-235-2525. Get a few more of your calls and discuss the Big Bears news and how it affects the rest of the roster. Bears moving on from Brandon Marshall. Be right back.
From Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
We're 3-4. We're 3-4. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. 3-4 is unacceptable. You want me to say it again? 3-4 is unacceptable. It's unacceptable. You don't get it tomorrow in this league. We're halfway through the season. It's time.
No more of that in Chicago. Brandon Marshall is a New York Jet pending passing a physical. It'll be official on Tuesday if he does. Hey, the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament continues right after our show on CSN Chicago. Number one, Wichita State will battle. Who won last night? Illinois State beat Missouri State, didn't they?
I would have to check on that one, Cap.
No, Southern Illinois. Wichita State, Southern Illinois play.
That was pretty much all Etwan Moore all the time.
And 2:30, number four, Illinois State against number five, Evansville. Tonight, Bulls Pacers, 5:30. Hawks and Oilers tonight at 7 on CSN Plus. IHSA Girls Championship games this weekend on both CSN and CSN Plus. Go to the website, csnchicago.com/preps, for more details.
And the Bulls play the Pacers tonight, and Etwan Moore gets to follow up on his great performance last night. We spent 2 hours talking about Brandon Marshall. I think that we owe Etwan Moore an apology.
We led the
Not
show
enough
with
Etwan Moore today.
We led
Not enough
the show
Twan
with
love.
Him. Oh, my God.
The Twan train needs to keep chugging along.
All right. Adam Hogue joins us now to talk Etwan Moore. Adam, welcome. Good morning. Kidding around. The Brandon Marshall experience is ending in Chicago. Bears get a fifth-round pick. What's your take?
Well, this trade, guys, is definitely not whack, bro. I think it's a good move for the Bears and something that's it had to be done, I think. And I think as you're looking at, again, all these moves that have been made since that last game in Minnesota, the last weekend in December, I mean, this new regime is really just checking off the boxes of the problems that the Bears had last year and going right through it and making swift, decisive decisions. And I think at least from that aspect, you got to give them credit for what they're doing right now.
Saves them in cash, doesn't save them necessarily as much on the cap. I think it saves them, you know, $7.5 million, and that's not insignificant. But I think that when you talk about, you know, the quarterback situation, it's a matter of what's your alternative. I don't think it's the same equation, Adam, when you're talking about wide receivers. But what is the alternative, and how do you think the Bears will start to address it?
Well, first off, you got to start with Alshon Jeffrey, and you got to wonder if what their evaluation of him is at this point. Do they view him as a number one, or do they think that he's going to need some help? And I think either way, you got to find someone else on the other side opposite of him to relieve some of the pressure, because otherwise teams are just going to start doubling up Alshon, and I'm not sure he has shown the ability so far to be able to handle that each and every week. But he's obviously a pretty good wide receiver. So you look at the draft, which has a ton of depth. You can find a guy second, third, fourth round that could probably be a pretty good player for you. And then also you look in free agency, and there's some guys out there that have some ties to this regime. I've said it before. You know, I don't know how much football Lance Moore has left in him, but I would not be surprised to see him as a Bear. Even if it's just sort of a depth option that you look at in training camp. So there's some guys out there that you can look at. But let's not minimize it. You know, Brandon Marshall was a very good player, especially his first two seasons. And I've said this before. You look at one of the things that sticks out in my mind from last season was week three in New York, the second quarter when he came out of that game, the Bears offense completely shut down. And that was before things got disastrous. They were coming off that win in San Francisco. They were clicking. And when he came out of that game, it was all of a sudden the Jets' defense had it a lot easier. So there's going to be some process here that they have to go through to replace that production. But is this addition by subtraction overall, especially in the locker room? I think it is.
What is the next shoe to drop for the Chicago Bears. Now, we've heard Lance Briggs yesterday. We're assuming Peanut Tillman is gone. Brandon Marshall gone. What's the next big move they make?
Well, the next, I'm sure number one on their list right now continues to be any potential offers for Jay Cutler. I think he's still going to be a Bear at the end of next week and then, you know, even further.
But correct me if I'm wrong. You guys would know for sure. I think I'm right. If they cut him before next week, do they not save $10 million off 16?
Yeah.
They do.
Then
yeah,
there's no reason to bring him back.
Well, except you're giving him $19.5 million then to not be on
matter.
Your roster this year.
It's a lot of money to give a guy to go away.
Yeah, that's – I think that – and I said this the other day, Cap, when I was on your show. I mean, there is a chance that Jay at least comes back this year and plays better to the point where maybe he gets you more in return in a trade a year from now. So I think there's too many positives or repercussions of not bringing him back, if that makes sense. If you don't have a quarterback, I mean, you're looking at just a completely miserable offense next year, and I still think Jay probably is the best option out there right now for the Bears to win. So that's top of mind, but also let's see, because this weekend you can start talking to agents about signings, and you got to start addressing that defense. So we'll see if they make any big free agent signings. I think Devin McCourty, you got to at least be making a phone call and seeing if there's any interest there.
Yeah, so is 12 other teams or so. I mean, McCourty sweepstakes are going to be outrageous. I just think it's going to be one of the situations like Jairus Byrd last year where he priced everybody else out of the market. So, Adam, when you look at the free agent class, you know, Lance Moore doesn't do a whole lot for people. I think he's a guy. He could fit in, know the offense, et cetera. But who are some of the bigger names in the free agent class of wide receivers that might appeal? And also, this is also one of the deeper draft classes in wide receivers. Again, last year was deep, but I think this year's the same way. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is. It's very deep. And, you know, I don't know how many impact number one guys there are. Amari Cooper, Kevin White, those are definitely a couple names, but you'd have to use the seventh overall pick on those guys. But I think there's a lot of maybe number two guys that you can grab later on. And that's really, I think, what you need right now, because you still have Alshon Jeffrey. And I think as long as he has help, you're going to have a good enough wide receiver group. If you look at free agency, I mean, sort of like Devin McCourty, Randall Cobb is out there, and I think he'd be a great addition to this offense, but he's going to make a ton of money, I think, on the open market.
You can't
market.
Pay him what he wants.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to at least want north of $10 million, and I'm not sure you go and do that. So, I mean, it's just second-tier guy. Jeremy Maclin, he's pretty good talent, but again, a lot of money there. But beyond that, it's second-tier guys like Torrey Smith, who's, I don't know. Brian Hartline, we know that he was at Hallis Hall this week. I think you address this in the draft. I think you use maybe one of these middle-round picks and try to just grab an extra impact player.
I like Maclin. You think he's going to get overpaid?
I don't think he's going to be as expensive as Randall Cobb, but you're probably going to – like most free agents, and you guys know this, you tend to overpay for these guys, and that sort of comes with the territory. So is this a position where you feel like you desperately need to overpay? I'm not sure it is.
Not when you look at the offense, what they want it to be, and you start to say, okay, what's your most important position? Well, obviously quarterback is number one. But then you want two running backs. You want a durable offensive line. You need another blocking tight end. Oh, by the way, you might want to get another wide receiver, but you already feel like you have a number one. I just don't know in John Fox's scheme of things, your second wide receiver is a priority that starts screaming, you know, fill me, fill me, fill me. So I don't know that that's going to be something they spend a lot of time worrying too much about.
Right, and we're again, this is where and what every team is doing this time of year is weighing what they think is going to be available in the draft versus what's available out there right now in free agency, because you can look at it one or two ways. I just said, hey, man, it might be smart to look in the draft middle rounds for an extra wide receiver, but they might be looking at this like, hey, we needed a fifth-round pick because it got traded last year for Brock Vereen in the draft. So if that's what the Bears got today, that's what reportedly they got back from Brandon Marshall. So you got a fifth-round pick. you need picks. You need as many picks as you can get, and do they need to go towards defense? And if you think they got to go towards defense, well, then maybe it is worth giving an extra, you know, $2 million to overpay for a number two wide receiver. I'm not saying that it would only cost them that. I'm saying, let's say a guy might, in their mind, might be worth $5 million and you have to pay $7 million to get him. Well, maybe it's worth it if you want to use those picks on defense.
What are they counting on for Marquise Wilson, or is this just another training camp guy who's never going to be what everyone thought he was?
Well, see, this is the tough thing because there's so little tape on him still because he got hurt last year. I think there's some potential there, but what's the ceiling? I'm not sure he's ever going to be more than a number three guy. But do they look at him and say, hey, let's not forget about him, he's in the mix? And I think he is there. I think he is someone that can contribute as your number three wide receiver who's, you're not asking to catch that many passes, what, like 40 a year? And maybe he can still be that guy. The tough thing for this new regime is there's still so little tape. But I think he came out last year towards the end of the year and at least showed a little bit of potential. So he'll be in the mix next year for sure.
Yeah, I don't know how much you can count on him. He's got to stay healthy. I think that was maybe one of the overstated myths of 2014 was that they really missed this guy that had really never done anything to warrant missing him. So we'll see. He's going to be a guy. He'll get an opportunity. They got a lot of guys who are going to get opportunities. It's a new day.
All right, we'll see what happens, Adam. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, guys. See you.
See you. There he is. That's Adam Hoge, WGN Radio. He's our Bears beat man. 312-235-2525 is what number you put on your speed dial. We're here for you Monday through Friday from 9 until noon. And Reed Dehaw, your next column's the Sunday paper, I assume.
Yeah, that's the plan.
So Sunday, he'll have something, I'm sure, on Bears and free agency that's coming up. Brandon Marshall, if you're just tuning in, you just sat down and said, hey, I got a little early start on my lunch. We're going to watch the end of this show. Brandon Marshall is now a New York Jet, pending him passing a physical. It will be official on Tuesday. Fifth round pick coming back if he passes the physical.
Bears gave up 2/3 to get him. Got 3 years out of him, 2 of them very productive, and they get a fifth round pick in return for a 31-year-old wide receiver on his fourth team. And they can live with that.
Austin says, hey, B. Marsh, the real stamp you put on Chicago was for That's Whack, Bro.
I would hope as much affection as we have for that show, we love it. Every Wednesday, 11:25, he did more here than that. He's a pretty good receiver.
Yep.
He created a lot of animosity or, you know, haters. I mean, a lot of people really don't like Brandon Marshall because of the way that he comported himself and the things that he said and the sort of the duality of being Brandon Marshall.
If they had made the playoffs one of the years, his career here would be, on the most part, fine.
Yeah.
But
I think you're right. And I think that he's going to be one of those guys that he's not getting the playoffs with the Jets.
No.
Chargers have signed Jacoby Jones.
Strike him off the list. Deal. That's another guy.
Forget Jacoby Jones, who Mike Jacobson wanted desperately to be here.
Jimmy Clausen's back. Clausen is back for the Bears. So there's your quarterback.
There you go. Jimmy Clausen will duck under center.
You guys loved him at Notre Dame. You and Charlie, you were a big Charlie Weiss guy, weren't you?
Oh, yeah, huge. Huge. I was the guy who
Isn't
had
that funny? You just want to hug Jimmy Clausen right now in all his domerness.
I was the guy that reported when he got in the fight in the bar. Remember that?
I do remember
Missouri
that.
Missouri Valley Conference Tournament continues right after our show on CSN Chicago at noon. Wichita State versus Southern Illinois. That's the number one seed, Wichita State. Number 4, Illinois State. Number 5, Evansville. Sports Talk Live at 5 o'clock. See ya.
All right. Well, see you later.